أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome everybody to our program. I hope everybody's doing well. Brothers and sisters, in the last program, we came to some very important conclusions about the path of the Anbiya. We said that the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah, came here to help us purify ourselves. The prophets wanted to see you and I reach our full potential, to live our best lives, to experience all of Allah's goodness. So in order to help us do that, the prophets came for what we say in the Quran, the Quranic terminology of Tazkiya, they came to purify us, and also ta'aleem, they came to teach us so that we would be able to benefit and enjoy Allah's blessings. They wanted us to fulfill our true potential, to reach our true potential. That's why you see that because of this goal, that first primary goal of the Anbiya, purification, the Ahlul Bayt, I'm going to give an example from Imam Hussein, would be very pleased when they would see that a human being had reached his full potential. The goal of all of the Anbiya, Imam Hussein isn't a Nabi, he's higher than the Anbiya. There was no Nabi at the stage of Imam Hussein. Of course, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He is higher than all of the Anbiya and higher than Imam Hussein. We're not talking about him. All of the others. Imam Hussein followed the same blueprint to purify people. And he would be happy when people would reach their true perfection. That's why on the day before Ashura, when Imam Hussein told his companions, "You can leave. You can go. It's okay. They only want me." And the companions chose to stay. The companions said, "We can never abandon you." The companions, one of them is mentioned, his name was Burayr. The hadith says, "Qama Burayr." Burayr stood up on that night. And Burayr said some words. He said, "Wallah, yabna Rasulullah. I swear by God, O son of the Messenger of Allah, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ بِكَ عَلَيْنَا. God favored us through you. What honor, what privilege did God give us? أَن نُقَاتِلَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ. That we would get to fight for you. وَتَقَطَّعَ فِيكَ أَعْضَاؤُنَا. The privilege of having our limbs severed in your way." He said, "On tomorrow, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we're going to enjoy the intercession of your grandfather." When Imam Hussein saw that kind of ma'rifah, that kind of purity, this person realizes they get it. They connect the dots. They realize this is all about God. That pleased the Imam. Now, what we also learned is that all of the Anbiya are following this same blueprint. The enemies of God, the Abid of the Taghut, are trying to burn this book. Why do they hate the Quran so much? Because the blueprint, the master plan, the roadmap is in the Quran. What we're trying to do as a community is to go over the ayat of the Quran so we also understand the secrets and we also explain them to others. So the Anbiya we learn that their primary goal was self-purification. They had, this is something we learned yesterday, they had a necessary preliminary that Allah wanted them to do in order to achieve the primary objective. In order to purify human beings en masse, all of the Anbiya would set up divine societies, a system, a way of life based on Tawheed, that the automatic result was that those who came through that system would be purified individuals and they would reach that goal that Allah had set out for them. So every Nabi would try his best. Either Allah would give Tawfiq and they would set up a divine system, the kingdom of God on the earth, or they would die trying. Sometimes they would be foiled. Sometimes they would try their best, and it didn't always work. It didn't always work. But every Nabi would try to deconstruct this system, which was based on Jahiliyyah. Some people didn't get this. Aba Abdullah was about to now leave Mecca. When he's going to leave Mecca, a man stops him, a man named Abdullah bin Umar. Abdullah bin Umar tells the Imam, he says, "Don't poke the bear. Don't go against these guys. It's dangerous. You have no idea what they're capable of." And Imam Hussein answers this weakling. Imam Hussein tells him, he says, "Min hawan ad-dunya ala Allah." The dunya is so worthless in God's eyes that a prophet like Nabi Yahya, his head could be given as a gift to a woman of ill repute from Bani Israel. The Imam said, 70 of the prophets would be slaughtered, would be killed in a morning. And Bani Israel, the children of Israel, would go about their lives. The dunya isn't worth it. He tried to save Abdullah. He told Abdullah, he said, "Have taqwa. Fear God, come to my assistance." So the reality is, Imam Hussein was trying to follow the blueprint of the Anbiya. The blueprint of the Anbiya is set up that divine system that will purify individuals. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We still haven't gotten to why it doesn't work in our role. We still haven't gotten to that. Sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. In the time of Imam Hussein, there were two options. Either I set up that divine system and I'm able to save everybody, I establish the kingdom of God on the earth, or I'm going to die a meaningful death. My shahada will save Islam. There's a story that they tell. And this story, it's either at Medina, at the time of Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Jazakumullah khairan. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This is either when that tiny caravan of Imam Hussein is now making its way back and has arrived at Medina. So it's either there, or according to some, it seems that this took place in Sham. So the tiny caravan arrives in Sham. When the caravan arrives in Sham, a man named Ibrahim bin Talha, one of the Abid of the Taghut, he says, now it's time to kick the family of the Prophet while they're down. So imagine that tiny caravan coming into Sham, coming into Syria, the heads of the Shuhada on spears, the family of the Prophet's slave girls, they want to sell them, the Imam in chains. And then he says, okay, now is my time. So he tells the Imam, he says, "Ya Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Sajjad, man ghalaba?" I have a question for you. Who won the war? Imam Sajjad raises his head and give one answer to that enemy of God that's going to silence the camp of Yazid forever. He told him, he said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْلَمْ مَنْ غَلَبْ. Whenever you want to know who won this war, وَدَخَلَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ, and the time for prayer comes, he said, فَأَذِّنْ, call the adhan, ثُمَّ أَقِمْ, then call the aqama, then you'll know who won. Imam Hussein was fighting for everything. Islam was going to be lost. There would be no deen. His shahada was meaningful. Islam survived. So yes, sometimes the anbiya, or those who are following the path of the anbiya, sometimes Allah would give tawfiq, the mu'mineen would do their job, and they would be able to establish a divine system. Other times, like in the time of Imam Hussein, they would meet their martyrdom, but they've moved mankind closer to where they're supposed to be. So those were things. There was one thing that we have to keep in mind about the divine system. The divine system, we learned this yesterday, brothers and sisters, is a preliminary. It's a necessary stepping stone. The real objective is purification of individuals, us reaching our true potential, getting to know God, experiencing Allah's best, fulfilling our true potential. That was the goal. How do I get there? You have to create a divine system. That's why you see that our greats, and I'll mention something about Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless him. Once, after one of the great victories of the believers, Imam Khomeini said a very meaningful sentence. Imam Khomeini said, the final victory, the greatest of all victories, is the training of the youth. Training individuals so they reflect Allah's names. That's the victory. Yes, alhamdulillah, this is a big victory. Alhamdulillah, we're grateful for this. But the real victory are those individuals like Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi, like Hajj Qasim, like Shaheed Mohsen Hujaji. Those are the objective. Victories are fine. The Islamic system, why is it there though? These kind of individuals who reflect all of Allah's names, they're the real target. They're the real objective. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to start on today's lecture, but first, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, today we're going to look at the fifth lesson. The fifth lesson that we're looking at is called the first note of prophethood. Inshallah, by going over this lesson, the first note of prophethood, we're going to understand something deeper about Aba Abdullah. Inshallah, what we're hoping to understand is to find out why was Imam Hussein, why was Sayyid al-Shuhada so direct about his message? Why was he so clear from the very beginning? Whether we see Aba Abdullah talking to the masses, and I'll give you an example. Whether you see him talking to the khawas and the ulama, because I'll give you another example. You can see that clarity. Enemy, friend, and foe knew what Imam Hussein was going to do. Why though? Why was Imam Hussein so clear? Let me give you some examples. 3:187. Let's see if we can see this verse together. What was that covenant that God had taken from the ulama? Why is it that his tone changed? What does God say? وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Remember when God took the covenant, the mithaq, from those who had been given the book, those who knew better. What's the responsibility of those who know better? People are now following your direction. The covenant of God was this: لَتُبَيِّنَنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. You're going to clarify this for the masses. وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. You're not going to hide the truth. You're going to speak. You know what the truth is? Now I expect you speak, you share this. Don't hide it. So the Imam was very harsh with these individuals. Sometimes we'll see some of these moderates, some of these khawas who knew better but wouldn't do their job. And when the Imam would talk to them, he would address the spiritual disease that was stopping them from doing their responsibility. Right? Abdullah bin Abbas, he knows better. Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah, the son of Ja'far, the husband of Sayyidah Zainab. The husband of Sayyidah Zainab. The Imam is about to leave Mecca. He comes rushing over to him. His wife is Sayyidah Zainab. His boys, two of his sons are going to be shuhada. But every family isn't ideological. Abdullah bin Ja'far comes over to the Imam. He tells him not to leave. He says, Alhamdulillah, I've been able to get a letter of amnesty for you from the governor of Mecca. Trying to stop the Imam. You see, when the Imam would talk to these kind of individuals, the Imam had one answer. He addressed the real problem of the khawas and the elite. There's a line from the Imam where he says this, Khutta al-maut. Death is Khutta al-maut ala wuldi Adam, Makhatta al-khilada ala jidil fatah. The same way that a necklace is on the neck of a young girl, death has been written. It's a necklace on the necks of Bani Adam. We're all gonna go one day. Don't fear death. Do your job. You're gonna go anyway. Go out with a bang. Don't operate from fear. So we see this from Imam Hussein again and again. And we ask ourselves this question, well, why not play politics? Why not tell people what they want to hear? Why not do political doublespeak? No, you look at the words of Aba Abdullah. What did he say? He said, Man kana badhilan fina muhjatahu. Whoever is ready to shed his blood in our way. Wa muwattinan ala liqa'illah nafsa. This person is mentally prepared to meet God. He says, فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا. Then this person should leave with us. We're leaving tomorrow morning. I'm breaking camp. I'm setting out. But the Imam didn't play games. He talked. He addressed. Why? Now we're going to go back to the Anbiya. Where did the Anbiya begin? What was their strategy? What did they focus on? Where did they start? And why did they do it? Brothers and sisters, when we are starting off on a mission and a plan, and everybody, even in our personal lives, if we know exactly where to begin, right? If we thought about it, we plotted it out, in order for me to get where I need to go, if I know where to start, the chances of me succeeding in the mission are a lot greater. I might still succeed, even if I start from the wrong point. If I don't know where to begin, if I don't know where to focus, I might still make it, but maybe I'll waste a lot of time and energy. What about if we knew where the prophets started? All of the Anbiya. Wouldn't that be helpful for you and I when we're trying to preach deen? If all of the Anbiya have a certain method, a certain way of doing things, wouldn't it be nice to know so that we, when we're preaching the deen, when we're doing the clarification jihad, we also start in the same area? Now, back to the Anbiya. With the Anbiya, we find the same thing as Aba Abdullah. The Anbiya wouldn't do the political doublespeak. The Anbiya would tell you what it is. They would speak truthfully to the masses. The people knew whether they were the masses, whether they were those who were ignorant about Islam and now embracing the faith, those who had converted to Islam, they knew the message of Islam. The prophets didn't go over, well, first we'll get first campaign promises. First, let's tell you it's a walk in the park. The prophets would be straight.
They would call a spade a spade.
They would talk to the people. They would reason with the people. They knew, the enemy also knew. The enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, of the Anbiya, of Imam Hussein, they also knew the message and they got it. Why were the prophets so straight with everyone, and where did they begin? If we want to talk about where they would begin, brothers and sisters, the prophets would begin with Tawheed, with the oneness of God. Everything in the school of the Anbiya is God, the oneness of God. But not, brothers and sisters, Tawheed as we learn it in Sunday school. God's one and not two. Alhamdulillah, we got that. Let's move on. No. Tawheed as an ideology, a belief system that affects everything that you do. Once you believe and declare that God is one, it also means you only obey God. If I obey anyone, even myself, in disobedience of Allah, then I am doing shirk when I violate Allah's commands. Tawheed, the tawheed of the Quran, not textbook aqidah. The Anbiya would start with real tawheed. To the extent, and this is where it would upset the rulers, the Fir'auns, the Nimruds, the prophets. I'm going to share a verse of Quran with you. They would explain, in the divine system, in God's kingdom, nobody's above the law. No one has the right to rule other than God himself, not even a Nabi. Tawheed. One ayat of Quran, brothers and sisters. If you can turn to, again, Surah number 3. Surah number 3 and verse number 79. So Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3 and verse number 79. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ. Does anybody see that? وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ. Okay, before I get to it, the prophets, the focus of the Anbiya was to get everything in its proper place. If I have spirituality, but it's not based on Tawheed, Tawheed of the Quran, I am a very spiritual person, a very lovely person, I've got great akhlaq, but my tawheed doesn't mean that I'm in the camp of Aba Abdullah. I don't have a stance when it comes to social and political matters. I can still obey the Fir'aun, but I'm a very spiritual person. This would be the opposite of tawheed, ayat of Quran. So God says this, Surah 3, verse number 79. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ. It is impossible for any human being, and yu'tiyahu Allah al-kitab, that God grant this person the book, wal-hukm, the rule, wal-nubuwa, and prophethood, thumma yaqul lin-nas, and then this individual say to the people, kunu ibadan li min dunillah, and then that prophet, that Nabi, would say, worship me, follow me, be my abid min dunillah. That's impossible. If God gives this message to Anbiya, then it's very clear. Everyone else, the prophet would never do something like that. The message for all of the tawaghit is that this tawheed is a social and political ideology. It's not only going to change their personal lives, their spiritual lives, it's going to affect my business. It's going to affect my rule. It's going to affect society. Because even a Nabi can't tell anybody what to do if it's in defiance of the rule of Allah. So the enemies of God, from the very beginning, realized what was happening. Allow me to share something with you about the enemies of God. The enemies of God will use ideologies to fool the masses. Ideologies that the Taghut doesn't even believe in. The Taghut, for example, will talk about racism if that's serves. If it serves to talk about diversity, he'll talk about that. If he'll talk about change, whatever it takes. But they don't believe in the system. So those idol worshipers at the time of the prophet, did they really believe in stone idols? Were they willing to go to war with the prophet because of their aqidah, because of their belief? No, ayat of Quran. Brothers and sisters, if you can turn with me to surah number 14. Surah number 14. You see, they set up ideologies for the masses to believe. Surah number 14 and verse number 30. 14:30. God talks about them in this way. God says this. Waja'alu. So these enemies, they set up. Did you see? I see that? Waja'alu. You see? Okay, good. Waja'alu lillahi andada. They set up partners for Allah. They don't believe in Hubal. They're not worried about these things. You believe it. It helps me. Waja'alu lillahi andada. They set up partners for Allah. Why would they do that if I don't believe in it? Liyudhillu an sabilih. In order to misguide others from his way. This is convenient. This way I rule. You're over there worshiping your idols, your modern idols, your celebrity, whatever it is. So the prophets would start from Tawheed. They would start from that divine position, belief in Allah, ma'rifah of Allah, embracing God as the wali, as the ruler. God only decides. They would start in that area. But question, the prophets were very direct. They wouldn't do double speak. Why though? What's the problem with a little bit of sloganeering, a little bit of political campaigns? Get everybody in your camp, and then after you overthrow the enemies, then alhamdulillah, then you tell everybody the real message. Why would the prophets be direct? Why was Abu Abdullah direct? Why would he say it as it is? This is another part of the principles of Islam. In Islam, iman or faith is valuable when you know what you're doing. They want you to know what you're getting into. They're not looking for you to blindly accept and have no idea what's going to happen, but just go over here and follow. No, in Islam, the Anbiya want to reason with you. In order for you to reach God's potential that Allah has for you, you have to understand. You have to get it. Then once you get it, you choose. And this is a choice, an active choice. I want to be in the camp of Abu Abdullah. Nobody tricked me. It wasn't a hasty decision. It was a carefully thought out and considered stance. That's why when you look at the ayat of the Quran, brothers and sisters, if you'll turn to verse number 12, surah number 12 and verse number 108. The method of the Anbiya when gathering followers, 12:108 was this, Surah Yusuf, 12:108. God tells the prophet to do this. He says, قُلْ, say, Allah speaking to the prophet, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, this is my way, أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I invite to God, عَلَى basira. But we do this with insight. We know what we're doing. عَلَى basira. أَنَا, me as a prophet, I have it, وَمَنَ اتَّبَعَنِي, the followers all know what they're doing. When Amirul Mu'mineen describes what I called last time, the human pillars, the core group, those who are going to carry and assist the Prophet in carrying out and establishing that divine society, Amirul Mu'mineen describes those believers in this way, that core group, that original group, those who are going to do the heavy lifting. How does Amirul Mu'mineen describe the human pillars? He says this, حَمَّلُوا بَصَائِرَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَشْيَافِهِمْ, they were carrying their insight on their swords. They knew exactly what they were doing. Why are we here? Where are we going? What is this about? They knew. If you know what you're getting into, if you're mentally prepared, if you know what the mission is about, then you can survive in the difficulties. You're mentally prepared. I knew what I signed up for. This kind of a person, even when the going gets tough, I know this is about God. the akhirah, my existence, the existence of all of mankind, I've got to do this. If you know what you're getting into, then you'll stand firm till the end. Aba Abdullah would test his companions. If you're going to be in the camp of Imam Hussein, it's a choice. Aba Abdullah, this is now the night before Ashura, the night before the battle, right? Everybody's there. The Imam says, go over and go. One companion, his name is Bashir. So everybody's ready to go. Bashir gets news that your son is a prisoner. Your son's been captured. Imagine if you heard your son has been captured by Daesh. Your son's been captured. Bashir's strong. Bashir says, inshallah, I expect reward from Allah through this. Reward from Allah. And then Bashir said a line, because he's a father. Bashir said, I don't want to be alive and my son is a prisoner. Then came the test. Aba Abdullah overheard. Aba Abdullah said, Bashir, I take back my bay'ah. You can go. Why don't you go rescue your son? Bismillah. Bashir was so shocked. The ma'rifah, I know what I'm doing. Bashir said, hayat, hayat. Never, that's impossible. You want me to leave you here to go off and find out from others? Oh, well, what happened to Imam Hussein? What was the end of Karbala? Are you kidding me? No way. He said these lines, akalatni as-siba hayyan. May wild animals tear me apart. May they rip me apart if I leave you in faraktuka. If I leave you. When Imam Hussein saw the ma'rifah, I know what I'm in for. Then Imam Hussein said, no, you can stay. He sent some money with one of his sons who was also there. He said, go over and you free your brother. If you want to be in the camp of Aba Abdullah, it's a choice. So, now we see that the Anbiya, they would start with Tawheed. They would start with the oneness of Allah. They would say it from the beginning. You would make the right choice. Believing in God meant a political stance. It meant rejecting the Tawaghit. We're going to do one verse of the from the Holy Quran, and then after that, inshallah, we'll sit and we'll listen to the majlis. So brothers and sisters, can you join me in reading? What's the message now? Where did the Anbiya begin? Were the Anbiya clear? Where did they start? What did they focus on? Where do we start? Do we just introduce Tawheed as they do in Sunday school? God is one and not two? Can you join me in looking at Surah number 16? Surah number 16 and verse number 36. 1636. Anybody find that? Okay. Guys, do you see this? Walaqad ba'athna. Do y'all see that? So let's read this together. Walaqad ba'athna. We did bi'atha fi kulli ummatin. In every nation. What will we do? Rasula. We would send a messenger in every nation. What would be the core message of that Nabi? Where would he start? What would he say? How would he get the masses to move? Ani'budullah, worship God, wajtanibut taghut, avoid the taghut. This isn't just in your mind. This is a stance. Kufr to the taghut, ijtinab of the taghut. After that, once the prophets began their mission, from منهم من هدى الله, some of them Allah guided, ومنهم من حقت عليه الضلالة. There were some people who were utterly lost. Grave error. So then after that, God says, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, travel through the earth. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to take lessons. When we hear about history, we're supposed to take lessons from it. If we don't,
other people will take lessons from us. Travel in the earth, the ayat of Quran, travel in the earth, fanduru, look. كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. What was the end result of those who wouldn't stop being abid of the taghut? Find out. Look. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.